Monday, October 7, 2019, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Commissioner meeting at 1:02.
Okay, we will call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting for October 7th. It is now 1:01 p.m. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joan, can you call roll, please?
Kevin?
Here.
Larry is absent. Janet?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Tony is absent.
I'll make a motion to excuse Tony and Larry.
I'd second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. Current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items, and A is the approval for the previous minutes of September 23rd and 27th. That would have been our regular meeting and then our emergency meeting. I will make a motion to approve those minutes.
Second. Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, on to new business. Our first item is to levy the necessary taxes for the 2019-2020 budget year and certify all levies for Dakota County and the political subdivisions. We've got that in here, and I think this is just more of a formality of levying the proper taxes.
I received everyone's budget, and there was only one that I had to have recalculate.
Okay.
Their levy. It's not quite what they had said, but I think they got it fixed. And then the ones that aren't completed and filled in, they're a little bit lighter gray. Those are all certified by other counties other than us. So you're certifying just what Dakota County certifies.
Okay.
The bold ones.
Yes.
So this is, in essence, when somebody, how we'll calculate taxes. You're in Jackson, it would be Jackson, the Ponca.
Right.
Okay. They just go down and pick
right.
the stuff.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, the Village of Jackson submitted their budget and their tax request.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you divide the tax request by their value,
mm-hmm.
and then that's what their levy is. And then I just double-checked that levy is what they estimated or assumed would be the levy mm-hmm. in their budget, and they all match.
So. Okay, so.
And then the school districts are based on the school district that your residence is in.
Yes.
Looks good. I'll make a motion to accept the Dakota County levies as presented.
I would second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Okay. We are going to do items B and D. It is closed session to discuss pending litigation negotiations on Turk cases 18C0178, 18C0180, 18C0181, and 18C0182, along with Turk cases 19C0159. So I need a motion for us to go into closed session for those Turk cases.
I'd make a motion that we go into closed session to discuss the Turk cases that you previously mentioned.
Second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony.
Kevin will vote yes.
Kevin.
Tony won't be here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, it is 1:05. We are going into closed session to discuss the aforementioned Turk cases.
Okay.
You guys, are we ready to open the door?
Yes.
Okay, we are coming out of closed session. It is 13:21, so I need a motion for us to come out of closed session on Turk discussions on aforementioned cases.
I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
I'd second that motion. Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, we are coming out of closed session on Turk negotiations, and we will move on to item C, that is to approve or deny the Dakota County Attorney to make an offer settlement in Turk cases 18C0178, 18C0180, 18C0181, and 18C0182. And I will make a motion for the Dakota County Attorney to offer a settlement for not less than $3.4 million on those cases.
And I'd second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. Okay. And then item E, the board to approve or deny the Dakota County Attorney to make the offer for settlement agreement in Turk case 19C0159.
I'll make a motion to accept the, do I just say the amount?
No.
Accept the settlement on case 19C-0159.
I'd second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to mail and emergency business. We will move on to public comment for the Board of Equalization. There's no public comment, so we will adjourn. It is 1:23 p.m.
All right, we'll go ahead and start our regular commissioner meeting at that time. Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available to review by all citizens in attendance. So we'll take a roll.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony is absent. Kevin?
Here.
Larry is absent. Janet?
Here.
And I will make a motion to excuse Tony and Larry.
I second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. All right, at this time we would have any public comment of anything that's not on today's agenda. So if there's anybody that wants to talk on anything that isn't on our current agenda, now would be the time to do it. All right. Consent agenda items: approve the previous minutes from September 23rd, 2019. Approve accounts payable. There were three accounts payable, and I did look through those, and everything seemed to be in order. And approve the chair to sign a certification of cost allocation plan for the clerk of district court child support cost recovery plan based on actual expenditures from financial year 2018 to use in financial year 2020.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda items.
I'll second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
We'll skip down to new business. Board to approve payroll claims for the period from September 22nd, through October 5th, 2019. I did have a chance to review the payroll claims for that period. There were two claims that did not fall within the 2% raise that the board had approved coming into this calendar year. So at this time, those two will be set aside and set back to that 2%, and we'll go from there. And then the board to approve or not approve, rescind the motion on the old sawmill asphalt overlay project to Barkley Asphalt, project to Barkley Asphalt due to the bidding language.
Roll call on the payroll.
Yep.
On the payroll, I mean, I know I've made my feelings known on this. I didn't look at that directly, but for the people that have an elected official and we've set budgets, I feel they do have the right to set the raise of their own office workers at what they feel, as long as they fall within their budget.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just making my feelings known on that. I've expressed it before, and I'll express it again. Thank you.
You bet.
So if we make a motion to approve the payroll claims as listed, then what do we, then there's no, I mean, you can't, how do we do this, I guess, in light of small
Yeah, we had a recommendation by NIRMA that I abstain.
So then we'll probably just have to continue to our next scheduled meeting. But
for claims. I was supposed to get one of them on the phone.
I think Tony's indisposed.
And Larry is too.
They told me they
They aren't. They don't forbid me from.
Right.
That's a recommendation.
Recommended you abstain, but that it wasn't required, is what they told me.
So, if we can't vote on payroll claims, what is the effect?
Yeah, on payroll.
Is it people don't get paid? Is that what it is? Is people don't get their paycheck?
No, I mean, we still have to pay for work, but.
And we pay eventually.
Have to do a special meeting to get it done, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather, if it's not
or
a requirement that
agree.
I abstain, I would rather vote and get it done with. I mean, despite their recommendation, they're not prohibiting it, it's just a recommendation.
Right.
So, I guess I will make.
Due to quorum, I would.
Yeah. Yeah, with the situation that we're in, I think. I will make a motion to approve payroll claims for the period September 22nd to October 5th.
I will second that. Oh, wait, ma'am. But as we had this comment, though, about those few that were, that's the ones we have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they? Are those, are the payroll claims, or are they not part of the payroll claims? That's my question.
They weren't signed.
They're not signed. Okay, so for the signed. That would be my recommendation that we need to have a fuller discussion on this, I guess.
The raise was greater than the 2%, so.
Take those out and then.
Approve everything else.
But those people should need to get paid, though, but maybe not the differential. Is that
I mean,
question?
You guys can approve what you want to do and then.
Then work through that, rest of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
They can always submit
it
again if they don't agree.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then I'll second the payroll claims that were presented and signed. Ready to go.
Mark.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
All right, B. The board to approve or not approve to rescind the motion on Old Sawmill Road Asphalt Overlay Project to Barkley Asphalt due to bidding language notice, bid notice language. So there was something, go ahead, Fred.
We have used the same
bid forms and language in all of our bids for the last 20-some years. There's never been a... It's said in there that it must be approved by the NDOR. It doesn't need to be in there. Mm-hmm. Since the county spends their own money, we're not asking anything from the state. But it's always been in there. There's never been a problem. One of the contractors questioned whether the contractor that awarded the bid, Barclay Asphalt, was. They're not. I asked the county attorney her opinion. She said the best would be to eliminate the bids, and we'll try again without that language. I probably, of course, will not have them bid the exact same thing now that they know their bids. We will do.
Yeah.
It was doubtful what it got done this year. What I'll do is I'll line up another section. You know, we're talking about down by Barclays need to be fixed down there in Homer.
Mm-hmm.
And Old Sawmill will make it a little bit different so they can bid that without the language that's always been used.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll move on unless the board decides something different.
Odds are that we wouldn't have got that project done this fall anyway. So is it something that we would bid early enough so we can get on the calendar for just to make sure that we're done by our June timeline?
And basically, I'm trying to do the same thing with North Bluff before the contractors get busy. The patching we got on North Bluff, also our asphalting that we're going to do now. What I would like to do with the board's blessing. Yep.
Any other discussion with regard to that?
Yeah.
I would make a motion then to rescind the bid on the old sawmill project that was approved at our previous meeting.
I'll second that.
Just the road department.
So can you rebid then?
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Martin.
Yep. All right, Fred. Front and center, county or the highway superintendent road report.
September 22nd through October 5th, 745 hours of maintenance, 3 hours of overtime, debris removal 13 hours, bridge maintenance 17 hours, North Bluff, culvert projects 9 hours on Fiddler Creek, 28 hours on Hall Avenue, 21 hours on M Avenue. Garbage pickup, 2 hours. Mowing, 6 hours. Gravel hauling, 1,447 tons. Signs and barricades, 27 hours. Road concerns, grading 230th, gravel, O, Q, and Knox Boulevard. There's probably a few in there that I'm missing. Jolene was absent a little bit last week, so I'm in charge of the office, and I'm best in the world.
You know, Hall Avenue, I thought that looked pretty good. Drove past there today. I also drove on some of our back roads, some of Thurston County's roads. And
we got some backfilling to do, as you've probably seen, over the culverts, but other than that, and then the new ones that Lexus did, turned out very well.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I mean, the roads are just getting beat up right now, but our roads look good.
Yeah.
Our roads were definitely smoother than Thurston County's were today. So
you had and then the roads that, any word on the Highway 35 project? Have they lengthened their timeline at all, or have you heard anything at all, Fred?
I haven't heard anything. I have went out there and looked, and I heard no progress whatsoever going on.
I know. That's what I've heard too, Kevin.
I've looked three times, and it didn't look different to me in three different weeks. Mm-hmm. It looked, the old structure's still in there.
I know they've been having water issues and a spring issue, I believe. And
that's what I was told, is there was a spring issue.
With the water table being so high everywhere, it brings everything back to life.
And they're always, and that was their problem, why it failed before in mm-hmm. spring. So I look for it closed all winter. I don't want to see that, but
that would be a mess.
But I don't see it getting. Mm-hmm. I've heard down to one lane they're going to patch it and make one lane through there. I haven't heard anything from the state, from the contractor. Just
what you're picking up.
Yeah. The other thing, like we were talking earlier, the bridge on North Bluff, I had a failure on the approach of the bridge. It was actually breaking the concrete out. I had Ron Gill go look at it with me. That whole road system, the bridges and the pavement on North Bluff, just wasn't made for that much traffic that we're getting on, and heavy traffic. You know, most of the trucks anymore are 90,000 pounds in mm-hmm. this steady stream. But anyway, that deck on that bridge is lucky if it's 6 inches. And I was surprised at how light it was. And it's just failing is what happened to it. Ron said he could patch it, but he says it'll break right behind the patch again. He says it might last a year, 2 years if you patch it. You could replace the whole deck. I have a asphalt and steel patch on it right now just so traffic can get over it. It's down to one lane. There is a hump. I can take a steel plate and patch it so at least we can get two lanes of traffic across it till we find repairs. There's multiple things. If you want me to look,
what would your recommendation be?
I'd say to find a contractor and replace the deck of the bridge. I think the structure ain't that bad, the steel structure. It's more the paving on the deck that is failing, and it's just, like Ron Gill said, that whole road and bridges just weren't made for it.
On the short term, to get it in use until that could be done, if a contractor couldn't be located in the near term, what would?
I doubt if you'd get it done this year.
Yeah, so what do you think? What would we do then? Plates on it?
Yeah, I would say find out. I might even have to get an engineer to spec what we need involved to make sure that we don't have this problem again.
With everything else going on, it's become a lot more vital road than, mm-hmm. you know, before.
And
so
when Highway 35, they do the rest of it. Whenever they get done, you know, they're mm-hmm. going to shoot all that traffic's going to come shooting across there.
So I'd say probably do what we need to do, whether we need to talk to an engineer or not, to find out what we need to do to get it opened.
But then I'm going to try a steel plate. I've seen the state do it before.
Yeah.
At least it'll open it up to two lanes again. Hopefully when I get caught up here in another couple weeks. We're way behind.
You figured out how to get caught up, let me know.
Does the state offer any compensation to they know there's going to be excess usage of county roads?
What they do is they set their own detour, and it's through Allen, so what they're telling us, it's our responsibility to keep the traffic off our roads.
Ah, I see.
They don't use the county roads for detours, just for that back, because they'll have to pay for it if there's any damage or anything like that, and the liability. So what they do is they'll route it 30 miles out of their way, but most people are going to use our roads, and then it's our problem.
I see. Yeah. They know the shortcuts,
they're
not feeling
it. To be honest with you.
Okay.
And other than that, we're trying to get a few things done.
And then the inspection on the north, the road, or the bridge north of Jackson, those kind of things. I know the river's never remotely gone down, so until those things happen, we just cannot do those things. Is that my understanding?
Yeah.
I mean,
I have called and asked for feedback on the bridge north of Emerson on T Avenue from that engineer. Have heard nothing.
Manelli Wagner, they have the bridge on North Bluff right there at Jackson and the High Bridge north of Jackson. They were going to get back to me 3-4 weeks ago, and I have heard nothing. I told them, at least give me, I have a price. That's when we were doing budgets, and I told them I'd kind of like to at least have something so we know what we're doing.
Firm that up.
I said I had commissioners asking me questions, but I think everybody's a little overwhelmed right now with bridges and engineers, contractors, plus certain entities of state, county, and city. But I have no good news there again.
All right. Thanks, Brett.
Keep plugging, yeah.
Thanks, Brett.
It's challenging.
B, approved resolution 19C-034, signing of the county annual certification of program compliance form 2019, 39-2115, 39-2119, 39-2120, and 39-2121, and 39-2502.
Do you want to wait and see if they have any questions on road report? Sorry.
Okay. I did not see that. I apologize. The annual report is just what it is, an annual report. The state doesn't even, you don't send them into the state no more. I'm sure that there's boxes of them down there that they never read. But along with our 1 and 6, they don't ask for them either anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still required. It's just to give you a list of all of our machinery and all of our stuff that we have on hand and the cost.
Okay.
And we'll give you one of those every year.
Inventory, budget,
operating cost. It was pretty detailed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your bridge projects, budget. I send it out to everybody.
Yeah, I did read through it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion to accept the report of the certification program compliance for roads and road department. Is that what it's called? Road classifications and standards.
I'd second that.
I'll try and make a run for it.
Mm-hmm.
Janet.
Yes.
See you very quick.
Martin.
Yep.
Kevin.
Yes.
All right. Kevin, could you walk us through the jail report quickly?
Yes. For leading up to October, we had 74 county inmates, 39 federals, one juvenile, running 113 in-house. For the 2019 calendar year, we're averaging 85 county inmates, 30 federal, 0.15 juveniles, and 115 in-house. Our fiscal average is 83 county, 34 federal, 0.36 juvenile, and 117 in-house. The federal income for September was $61,000 from the marshals, $9,900 from ICE, other marshals, $8,500. And September's federal was $79,786.88. Fiscal marshals, $176,000. Fiscal ICE, $25,000. Other marshals, $17,000. And the total fiscal federal is $219,974.82. The 2019 federal calendar year was brought in $572,187.04. Cost per inmate per day for September was $65.85. We're still that's kind of our area, is right around that $60 range. We did jump up to 82 in August, but we're at least down now.
And that was a three pay period month, and that makes quite a difference.
Well, the cost per inmate per day, I don't think much is involved with the actual payroll on that one, is it? Some of it is?
It's all the expenses versus the revenue.
For the jail. So all of the jail.
Oh, well, that helps.
Yeah.
So the jail spent $226,000 for the month of September. It's currently at 20% of its total estimated yearly budget, or 2% over its fiscal year. And September bookings, Sheriff's Office was 32, South Sioux was 35, State Patrol was 5, Court itself was 17, Federal 43, Other 1 for a total of 133. 42 were Dakota County residents, 15 were Other Nebraska residents, 40 were Sioux City residents, 21 Other Iowa residents, 14 for Other State, and 1 homeless. That's the report.
It's crazy that, you know, of everybody arrested in this county in a month, that only 35% of them live here. You know, it's kind of eye-opening when you look at that.
Yeah, we're in a precarious situation with that.
All right, next, Tiffany Hansen, Health Department Director, with her quarterly report.
Yeah, you get to hear from me a couple times today. Okay, so we had our health board meeting, and it was actually a special meeting. So we met in August. Budget ended the year at 93% spent, which the board felt that was a good place. We continued to do our FAB accreditation stuff, which is the Public Health Accreditation Board. So we're working on new quality assurance measures. That's what the new fiscal cycle is going to be working on, is performance measures and quality improvement software. So we're going to be moving forward with some new software that's grant supported by the state, that's going to help us track all the quality measures for the 9 programs that we manage for them. Bioterrorism, our FET fund, we brought in $9,300 for quarter 4. We had a raise to that grant, so this year we'll actually get $61,000 awarded, so $15,000 more than the previous years. Immunization, we did quarterly reports for $10,150. We actually found out for the first time this quarter that we can actually vaccinate Iowa residents. We thought we had to be exclusive to our Nebraska residents, but we actually can vaccinate anybody from all 50 states, and so that was nice. So I made a call to District Health to let them know that if they have people that don't meet their qualifications, they can send them over here and they can get vaccinated, because we'd rather them be protected than not. West Nile, we ended the season. Everyone at the state felt like we did pretty good. We saw 3 times as many mosquitoes than we have since last year, but we had no increases in cases, so we were okay there. Minority Health, we had $19,000 in revenue for quarter 4, served 365 people in the last year. Radon, we're going to be moving into radon mitigation season this month, and so we'll apply for funding here the 15th, and so we'll have radon test kits that will become available hopefully the end of the month. Surveillance, we continue to do surveillance for Northeast. We had 125 CDC cases. Northeast had a mumps outbreak that we saw in the news, and so Natasha handled all that for them as well. They just did a mass vaccination clinic in Hardington, so that was kind of interesting to be a part of. Let's see. Oh, we got a new grant, our maternal child health grant. We got awarded for 6 to 10-year-olds in the county that we're going to target increased physical activity or decreasing obesity. So we're going to be meeting with the schools and Beyond the Bell and parents and different groups to try and figure out what that gap is going to be that we're going to fill. So that grant's for about $40,000. We're going to work on that over the next year. We elected officers, so Becky Mathis is going to be our president again, and Dr. Matt Aiken is going to be our vice president for the health board. We did our annual reports for the clinic and our revenue, so we vaccinated last year 1,200 kids with 3,500 vaccinations, and 65 adults with 130 vaccinations, and across all of our programs, we brought in $186,982 last year. Any questions, comments, concerns?
No.
No. Okay. So the next thing I need your guys' blessing on is our standard operating procedures. So the state kind of gives us some guidance that they want us to have and some verbiage because they do subrecipient monitoring on all nine of our programs. And so those go into these then operating procedures. I think Joan sent them out to you guys in your email maybe. Is that right? And so essentially we just added all the recommendations that the state auditor's office wanted us to have for expense management. The Board of Health already approved them. We just need your blessing essentially.
So these are the standard operating procedures that you're required to do for grant management.
Yes. And a lot of ours is like, if you look through it, a lot of the principles are just like the basic stuff that you would expect anywhere. We do also submit the county employee policies, obviously, because that preludes everything to us. But this has just a little bit more specific stuff that the state asks for, especially in like the expense management portion. They want to see specific verbiage on the credit card usage and on the procurement stuff and our fees, which I know you guys approved too, but we have in here again as a redundancy, allocation of funding, just like more specific things that they want us to have for our subrecipient monitoring so we don't get dinged on those.
So it won't really impact what happens with the claims process?
No. It happens just the same way. This is just kind of one of those checks things that we go through with Joan and we go through every year, and they kind of send us back these lists of suggested things that we should include in verbiages, and so we try and plug them in here to hopefully avoid getting any other discrepancies the following year.
Okay. Do we need a motion for that? I make a motion to approve the operating procedures for grant compliance.
I'd second that.
Martin.
Yep.
Kevin.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next, we have Kevin Hansen, Building and Ground Supervisor, requesting approval for wood stump carving project or projects on courthouse grounds.
I'm here to get your blessing to go back out and get donations to get this tree stump over here by the jail and start collecting donations again and get your input.
Did you get a bid on the project?
2,500 to 3,000 is what does Jeff Clance. I went to that Ponca deal.
Mm-hmm.
Both those carvers were kind of not finished. They were kind of rough. You know,
mm-hmm.
And if I want this, this Clint Jeff, I've seen some of his work. He's more of a finished, you know, nicer. Them guys were kind of a.
Where's he out of?
Storm Lake.
Okay.
And he said that I sent him the pictures and everything. He said it'd be 2,500 to 3,000, and he can do it in the middle of the winter. That's when he does a lot of his work during the middle of the winter. I'm just here asking your, you know, permission to go back out and get donations that I had started, the collection went real good.
So this will be a project probably won't be done until spring, I would guess, because
he's going to do it in the middle of
working on it in the
yeah,
winter, and then
yeah,
we'll actually.
Yeah, he's so busy with fairs and everything else and all this stuff during the summer that he does a lot of carbon in the winter,
okay.
And he likes the wood a little harder, mm-hmm. You know, that to get a good carving and
so
stuff.
Do they leave it? Do they carve it right as it is with the roots in the ground, mm-hmm. or do they slab
it? No, leave
it, and put
it just
on
like it is. And I know Larry had talking, he was worried about the roots, but them roots would be there for 10, 15 years before they even start. And if they did start rotting, all we need to do then is, because I'm going to preserve the top, you know, with some preservative, all we need to do then is just cut the bottom, you know, cut it, put it on a pedestal.
Do they put
style?
Clear-coated urethane
of
some kind?
Yeah, we're going to urethane and clear-coat it. But I want more of a, I mean, I don't want I want it painted. I want it black and white like an eagle should be. And then what we're going to do is have, you know, as you see the branches go up, we're going to try and get the wings to come up and stuff. And then at the bottom, I want a sweeping flag, red, white, and blue flag kind of sweeping, in, you know, at the bottom base.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to come out. And did you see this sign that we put up in the entryway over here on East? Bill got in
mm-hmm.
with the military. He got me one. So what I want to do eventually is coming out from this sidewalk, going this way and that sidewalk, make a pathway around that, and then I want to put a pedestal, and then with that plaque that Bill got on a slant, and then all the donators that have donated, we will put on that pedestal, their names on the pedestal of the donators.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my vision.
Mm-hmm.
But
Kevin, I'm part of a Keep Nebraska Beautiful thing,
right.
and
I appreciate
grants.
That. But you know, Janet, my philosophy is we've got plenty of people that will donate to us. Let's not use tax. A grant is still taxpayers' money. It's still, you know, paid by the taxpayers. Let's get the voluntary donations paid for it. You know, I went out in 2 hours and had $1,000 donated. You know, just that quick. They love the idea. They like seeing this dressed up, you know. So I would rather just go with donations, voluntary donation. That way we have no complaints from anybody using a grant or taxpayers' money or, you know. So let's just do it under a whole voluntary donation, you know, concept. So
would you be open to, if we can't come up with that money, if we did look into a grant?
Oh yeah, I'd be open to it. But
okay,
I can
we're pretty confident that we
I'm so confident that I can come up with that money. And what I want to do, say it costs us $3,000, I'm going to try and collect about $4,000 and put $1,000 away into a maintenance fund that will take care of the maintenance of that, you know, the upkeep and the maintenance of that, so it still ain't coming out of our, you know, taxpayer money and stuff. But like I said, you know, in 2 hours I had $1,000. You just let me go on it, and I guarantee you within 2 weeks I'll have the whole $4,000 collected, you know, and get this thing, the ball rolling, get Jeff over here, get some kind of a time frame, you know, during the winter, and go from there.
I guess I'm just wondering what the perception of the public would be that we're getting donations to keep our grounds up. That's just kind of...
Why not? That's why?
Bubbling in my, I don't know.
That's better than having them the perception of why did our taxpayers' money pay for this? You know what I mean? And when it's all said and done, I mean, I'll put a nice little thing in the Star thanking all the contributors, you know, for this project. And you know, I feel people would rather see it done like this than having grant money.
Having out the general fund.
Right, right.
Well, you guys have to be a better judge of that than me.
But I understand where you're
coming
from.
I'm doing this job.
I understand where you're coming from,
yeah.
Too, you know, because, you know, people are aware that the county isn't in very good financial shape, so then they see, well, you're not in very good financial shape, yet you're still willing to go out and, you know, get donations to do this, and I think it's a great project. I have nothing against the project at all.
Yeah.
But it's just, I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Just need to, if we, you know, do approve it, just have to make sure that, you know, when you are dealing with the public in the county's name, that you're just, you know, if people can or just may decide not to.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, do it,
yeah.
and I just don't want any more phone calls.
And
yeah.
we need receipts, too.
Yeah,
receipts.
You have to have a receipt for everybody
showing
that donates.
What they gave.
Yeah, I do. I've got right here. I have them put their
so
business, their contribution, and their signature, what they did.
Is that good, or do they need to possess?
From the treasurer.
Why don't
something.
You bring that up and let Kim take a look at it?
Will they be able to get tax deductible? I mean, what is, or is this just a donation, or do they get a tax?
Do we have
that
something
would,
from Bob?
I would bet
give?
This is more of just a donation.
Or is it
donation,
mailing out
general donation?
Yeah.
Well, it's to a tax exempt entity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes they ask that, can I get a receipt so
mm-hmm.
I can turn it in for tax
they
purposes.
They all will get a receipt.
They will.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Bob is going to give everybody a receipt.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll mail them one or what have you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you have their addresses on there then, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. It's everybody. I mean, we can find
if
it.
He's still
the
ahead.
Animal Hospital,
yeah.
Wilms,
mm-hmm.
Siouxland Hydraulics, Stephens Welding. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we'll...
Just be able to find their addresses.
We'll set up a separate budget revenue line item and then a separate expense line
item so that we keep track of the exact dollar amount. And if he does a miscellaneous receipt for every donation to that revenue, specific revenue budget line item, if he does a miscellaneous receipt, then they're mailed out to whoever. That's
so they can claim it on their tax.
Okay.
Tax deductible donation.
Good.
That's a good angle.
The bear on Dakota Avenue.
The what?
Do you remember that? He had the little sign.
Yeah.
About 33rd and Dakota?
Car bear was in the yard there.
Yeah. Was that done on a slab?
I don't know.
Because if it wasn't, that would have been there a long...
Oh, Bianchini's old house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's on stone.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's still there.
Yeah. That still looks really good.
What kind of tree is this?
Maple.
It's a little bit softer, but I mean, like say, if you maintenance it, if you clear coat it, that'd be essential for that.
Yep. Like I said, I want to paint it the black and the white that it should be, and then the flag swoop down here, and then completely clear coat it. You know, after it's all done. Yeah.
And the carver's seen it and knows what.
I sent him a picture of it.
He can visualize the.
Yep. Oh yeah. I told him to come up with my concept. I want a standing eagle with the wings up because the branches are just perfectly proportioned for that.
There too?
So.
I personally think it's a good idea. I like what's been done. Outside, it looks a lot better. The inside looks a lot better. The public appreciates it. I've had people tell me that the courthouse looks a lot better, the outside looks better, the inside looks better. I was around when we did metal detector security, and it's disheartening when people come up to you to tell you how bad the courthouse looks, and when a elderly couple is touring the state, and yours is one of the worst courthouses, it's a little disheartening. But now we're hearing good things. So.
Yep, and I think this is just going to be the cherry on top. You know what I mean? This eagle.
Yeah.
You know, really well. It's just the way it's sitting there and facing out the way, the direction it faces.
Which way are you going to face it?
Huh?
Which way are you going to face it?
This way.
Towards
face it?
Towards the
like, will the eagle's face be?
No. The eagle's face is going to be this way, to the front, because those branches are coming out this way. So
what do you mean, to the front?
So it's going to come
towards the,
to the speaker?
Yes, it's going to come right towards you. You know what I mean? If you look at it.
I think it'll be kind of looking towards the parking lot, it looks like, a little bit.
Yeah. That direction.
Yeah.
So,
that'd be
but like good. I said, those big branches coming up there are just so proportioned, so nice. On both, you know what I mean, that the wings, you know, have nice standing eagle with the wings coming up. I think it'll just.
When we were in Alaska, we saw a really neat eagle. It was a totem pole, but it kind of was that same concept.
Yeah, there's some talented people in this world for sure.
And then these two trees, I cut the one down over here coming in, and then this other one that kind of matches it at this end, I'm going to take those branches. There's only about four branches left of that one. So, and I think I might come up with a stencil and try and do a little work. I may put court and then house on that one, or I don't know, something on those two later on. But that's a nice hard elm. So that would be... that's something that I might tinker with a stencil and a chisel. So.
All right. Well,
I'd like your blessing on it so I can continue. We get things working.
All right. Well, I will make a motion for approval for the wood stump carving projects on the courthouse grounds.
All right. I'd second that.
I need to go back.
First word hand.
Kevin.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Martin.
Yep.
All right.
You still thinking about doing that outside painting?
Very pretty.
I got the paint this morning.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Now, we're going to get the lift, but Andy needs it for the next 2 days.
How about the grouting you're going to do around the windows or the ceiling around the windows?
That's next spring.
Okay.
That's going to have to, all that brickwork up there. It's not going to be just grout. I got to tear all the bricks out and re-mortar them.
Okay.
They're just, you know, probably put new because the bricks are just falling apart.
Yeah.
That's something that's...
Moisture's hard on them, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's something that's going to have to be spring deal.
Okay.
I like the painting now. Like I said, I was going to get the lift, but not tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and start on the lower end and start working it until I get the lift to go up with the columns. So.
All righty.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. We're talking about the quarterly jail visit. We are missing a couple of members. Do we want to push that back a meeting?
I would say so. I don't know if the sheriff's around.
I think he said he's in Kearney today.
He's back from D.C.
Was he in D.C.?
They couldn't have kept him a couple days longer.
Yeah, he was out there with Trump. He's a pitcher in Jones' office.
Oh, really?
No, I had was talking to him this morning, and he said, I'm in Kearney, so.
Any commissioner committee reports over the last couple weeks? I don't have anything.
I went to the Los Hills meeting a week or so ago, and they had the Dakota City Household Hazardous Waste. Was that last Friday, the 20s? That was last Friday.
Yep.
Two good Fridays ago. And then coming up in 2 weeks, October 26th, they're having e-waste, electronic waste in Homer. So hitting a couple of areas up here with household.
It's amazing how much they pick up. It's incredible.
It is. We had a big discussion about that. They put that out for bid, and I guess I'm kind of learning a lot about it.
Even now, as long as the flat screen TV's been out, they still get, three quarters of a semi-load of tube TVs.
Yeah.
2 years ago when I helped them, we had a full semi-trailer full of tube TVs.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
They have tire collections down like in Elkhorn, and huge amounts of tires. But the funny thing is they're getting a lot of pushback, which is kind of weird, because there seems to be a lot of bubbling up. The younger people are bubbling up and wanting more recycling, and the older people don't really think it's a hassle to have all that in their fairground. And,
Recycling is expensive.
It is. It actually costs to get these people to come in and do this stuff.
Oh, for sure.
It's just...
good for the environment. It's fiscally...
Yeah.
Mail and emergency business do have a letter here from Northern Natural. They're just talking about that new gas line that's going to come from up around Sioux Falls area down through Elk Point and down through the Jackson area and south of Dakota City. So there's an informational meeting coming up. The informational meeting for this area is Thursday, October 17th. At the Delta Hotel and Center from 6 to 8:30. So I don't know how much we will or won't be affected by that, but they wanted the commissioners to know about it.
Sure.
And they're going to do a bunch of clearing around the pipelines. Did you guys just get that email that was up this morning?
Is that the Nebraska Public Power?
Oh, that's the one. Oh, different entity. I'm sorry. Yep, my fault.
And they'd be hiring people to go on the 75-foot right-of-way around the transmission lines, use herbicide and chainsaws and anything else they need to.
Section Township Range, I thought it looked like it was on 137th and Hudson, maybe by the High Bridge or something. Do they have MPPD? Do they have?
I don't know.
There's a transmission.
There's a
Hudson.
That was a road in the... if you want to look it up, it's
vegetation management.
Section 22. Oh, I didn't do the southwest quarter of the northwest quarter of Section 22. Look there by 137th Street. That doesn't have Section Township Range.
It doesn't have it in there.
Well, there's 137th and
Hudson.
H would be about.
Yeah,
right
I think
there,
that little.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Are they talking about that little road that went back?
I was looking at the map.
Back, no, that little road that goes back to that little homestead there.
Is there a map behind this one? Kevin, is there a map behind this one?
No.
Oh. thought there wasn't. Okay.
I can tear it down.
No. Okay.
And then the public informational meeting, open house, Thursday, October 10th, at the First Lutheran Church, and that is dealing with Highway 7775, redo out here, what they're going to all do. I don't have any idea. I haven't heard much information about what they're going to do. I know next summer they're going to be doing a lot of work on the bridge over there, but... Are they doing additional ramps? Are they just resurfacing the road? What are they doing? Have you heard anything, Kevin?
From what I've heard, it's resurfacing, some bridge sealing, and I didn't hear anything about the ramps.
Yeah.
But so, I would imagine the ramps.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard something about the Cloverleaf ramps or something.
So
3.23 miles of roadway on I-129.
And that's about all there is in Nebraska, mm-hmm. about 3 miles.
Yeah.
So it would be everything from the Missouri
to Martins River, past Martins River, from 110 to the river, probably.
Okay, there is so much construction anymore.
I know.
And we have no control over this.
I know.
People have been asking me about that. Like, I remember seeing the plan. Mm. Wasn't it last summer they showed us the plan?
I think you're right.
Because they were routing people over G Street over.
They were just
that?
Doing bridge stuff. Those, what I thought our first. Notification was about because they were only talking a couple weeks total.
Everybody needs
well, that's
to
right. They were rerouting traffic.
Yeah.
So this is different than what we saw last summer.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one place in there. I think it's maybe the middle signing deal.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Then I think we'll adjourn.
It's 2:12.
What time? 2:12.
2:12.